This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio River is the reason that there is a city right here. The fresh, clean water was an oasis for the Spanish settlers and before that the native peoples for thousands of years. And downstream to the Gulf of Mexico, it also brought life. Today, what is the state of health for the San Antonio River and what challenges does it face? And can it be made clean enough to swim in anywhere in the river? We're talking about the San Antonio River Health Index. Tell us what changes that you've seen to the river's health over the years. Number to call in is 210-614-8980. Have you seen the bald eagle that's taken up residency along the Mission Reach? The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. Our guest this afternoon, we're joined by Steve Graham. He's the Assistant General Manager for the San Antonio River Authority, and Rudy Farias is the lead on the San Antonio River Index Project. And thank you all so much. It's great to be here this afternoon. I want to ask you, Steve, so tell me about why y'all launched this River Health Index Project.
Well, the bottom line is we've always wondered, are we making a difference? At the River Authority, there's so many different things we do, from environmental protection, flood control, parks, water quality, and we operate utilities. And because of that diversity of things we do, it's sometimes difficult to show where we're making a difference. And so back in the early 2000s, we read a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins that really talks about developing a way of measuring your progress, even if that if the things you do are very subjective and defy being measurable. We said, and Jim Collins in his books makes the mention of President Kennedy in 1961, created a vision where he said, we want to put a man on the moon and bring that person back by the end of the decade. And that created a crystal clear vision of what the president wanted to accomplish for the nation. Bill Gates in 1980, he said, I want to put a computer on every desk. And that became the measure for Microsoft employees to simplify, downsize the computer, make it cost effective. So that when you can create that kind of a vision, it's very powerful. Jim Collins calls that a big, hairy, audacious goal, or BHAG. So we thought, what's our BHAG at the River Authority? It'd be nice to have something simple like that. You know, with the Edwards Aquifer, we know the aquifer is healthy when we measure at J17, that the aquifer is at a certain level. And that becomes a barometer of whether we have enough water in the aquifer. We don't have that. With the river, again, we have so many different things we're trying to accomplish. So we thought, you know, how can we put together different things that we measure that cumulative look at and represent whether Sarah or we're making a difference? And so we created a one-page strategic plan with sort of a measure, our BHAG, our River Health Index, that helps us measure whether we're meeting our mission and whether we're making a distinctive impact with the resources that we have. Again, Jim Collins sort of said, measure the immeasurable. So on the website, your listeners can go to that, and there's actually a PowerPoint that sort of breaks down our River Health Index into the component parts. So we're measuring how are we helping in terms of safety, how are we helping in terms of environmental protection, how are we helping and building our public access to the river, and what are we doing to build public awareness, not just of the River Authority, but the river itself and the watershed itself.
So what's the BHAG? What's the big goal?
Well, the big goal is sort of encapsulated in this River Health Index, all the different component parts. You know, I've heard different things expressed, make the river swimmable. That's obviously a BHAG. But make the river safe from flooding, that would be another BHAG. Make people canoe on the river. I can't tell you how many people I hear from that they're going up to the Guadalupe or the San Marcos River. But we say, you know, you can go right here canoeing on our San Antonio River, right in downtown San Antonio. So another BHAG is to get people to realize the community asset the river is in San Antonio. We're having almost 300,000 people on the Museum Reach every year. We're 200,000 to 300,000, depending on where you measure, in the Mission Reach. So we are building slowly over time all these different BHAGs that, again, I guess in the River Health Index, we're measuring that in a more scientific way.
So when you say you can canoe on the San Antonio River, And the number to call in, if you got a question about that, the number is 210-614-8980, canoe, kayak, or what have you. So where do you do that? How can you do that?
Well, we have three paddling trails. One is right in the downtown San Antonio area, starting from King William all the way through the Mission Reach down to Mission Espada. We have another.
So I can't go to Casa Rio and canoe up to there?
No, unfortunately, that area is exclusively for the barge concessionaire. So you can't, nor can you in the Museum Reach. Likewise, in Wilson County, we have the Sespamco Paddling Trail, which is from northern Bear County into, southern Bear County into northern Wilson County. And then we have a paddling trail in Goliad County as well.
When you say it's a paddling trail, what does that mean? I mean, is it like it's been surveyed or whatever, or certified?
Well, it means that we have put in and take out locations that are safe and accessible. And we have a crew that tries to diligently get out and make sure that log jams are removed so that you, in general, won't have to get out of your canoe.
So don't have to worry about trespass or nothing.
Correct. Because we have publicly accessible put-in and take-out locations.
So what is the health of the river? So Rudy Farias, you're the lead on the River Health Index Project. Are there contaminants in the river now? What's in there?
Well, let me give a little background on the River Health Index first.
You bet.
It was created in 2010, as Steve mentioned, and that serves as our baseline. And then we created annual benchmarks through 2020 so we can gauge that. There are four key categories that we look at. It's public safety, environmental protection, public access, and public awareness. And within each of those categories, we have measures that have been identified. So we consistently measure on an annual basis so we can see how we're trending over time. So back in 2010, we did have our projection, and we had a trend line. And then based upon the measures, we get to see how we're doing against that trend line. And what I can tell you today is that we are trending slightly above our projections, which is very favorable. Some of the measures that are in there, as mentioned, deal with public safety. So there's one measure there.
When you say public safety, is that like crime, or what do you mean?
No, that's speaking specifically to removing structures from the floodplain.
Oh, okay. So making it less likely to spill out of its banks and get into our neighborhoods, that type of stuff.
Yes.
So okay. In 2010, we actually counted the structures in the regulatory floodplain. There was over 18,000. So we said, by working with our community partners, City of San Antonio, Bear County, and others, how can we do the best capital projects that alleviate and remove structures from risk? We also invested in better maps. Many of the maps conservatively show the floodplain. We've spent a fair amount of money making sure the maps are accurate.
These are elevation maps?
They are. They're maps that show the river with elevations that you can see whether your house is in or out. So both with capital projects and by investing in our regulatory flood maps, we've been able to sort of, and we're now at a goal of, we've reduced about 50% of those homes. So we've reduced about 9,000 since 2010.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and our phone lines are open. What do you think about the San Antonio River? Which parts do you enjoy the most? What do you think needs to be improved? Is there anything that you'd like to see done to the San Antonio River? Not just the reach, not just the walk, but the entire river from the headwaters to the Gulf of Mexico. What would you like to see done to the San Antonio River? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this.
In writing the music for the Oscar-winning animated film Coco, the filmmakers and songwriters went to Mexico to gather as much authentic material as they could.
So when you see the characters dancing, they are really dancing to, you know, authentic zapateado.
Next time on Fronteras, Texas native and Latina Hollywood composer Germaine Franco talks about writing for Coco. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. When people say the San Antonio River, you might think about the walk or the reach, but it's so much more than that. It goes from the headwaters all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. There's also streams and creeks like the Cibolo that contribute to it. And there's a lot of concern about how do we make sure that these waterways are clean and safe, don't contribute to flooding, and they will also add to our quality of life and to nature here in our area. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about the health of the San Antonio River. And Alexander is on the line. Alexander, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a comment about kayaking down the Mission Reach in particular. I've done it twice. The second time, my wife and I did the river relay, which I thought was a great event. I am a bigger guy. I'm about 250, 6'4". And every time that we got close to one of the gates, the water got so shallow that it was just rocks. And I have to get out and drag the kayak every single time. So I was wondering, can they dredge out those areas to allow for the traffic to come down through there a little bit easier? Because it was really a challenge just to finish the course.
Alexander, thank you for the call. And so Stephen Graham is with us. He's Assistant General Manager for the San Antonio River Authority.
So, Alexander, were you talking about the canoe chutes that you have to go down those riffles on?
Well, we've already lost the call.
Well, I'll answer both ways. Where we have some problems are we have these pooled areas, which are fairly deep, and I'm assuming those aren't the areas he's having problems on. But then we have these riffle structures where the water whitewaters, and we've made some of the water has to go through the riffle for fish and aquatic species, but some goes through just for canoes. And if our flow in the river is a little bit low, that freeboard could only be, sometimes it's only a few inches. And if you are a larger person, you absolutely could scrape bottom. But typically, when our flow is normal to high, it's not an issue. But I hear what he's saying. It has been our goal to make it to where you don't have to port anywhere along the Mission Reach. But that is somewhat flow dependent.
So the funding for the reconstruction of the Mission Reach, that came from like the Corps of Engineers, mainly for flood control, right?
Well, it was multiple sources. Actually, the biggest funder was Bexar County. And Bexar County even advanced the federal share of dollars. So the federal government, their share was about $72 million. Bexar County actually advanced it. Every year we go to Congress asking back for money, and to date we've been repaid $15 million of that. But City of San Antonio, Bexar County, SAWS, Corps of Engineers, those are the primary funders to date.
And so this where the money came from, typically it has to decide what the mission is, what we're going to do with the resource. And so how does that rank? Is it flood control, environmentalism, recreation? What's the priorities?
Well, the number one priority is flood control and public safety. That's the Bexar County funds are exclusively for that. Now, the Corps of Engineers and SARA, we care about that, but we also wanted ecosystem restoration. And so Corps of Engineers funding went for that component. City of San Antonio, more the recreation, the trails, the quality of life. So the different funders had different focuses and where their money had to be used for. But it's hard to sort of bifurcate those uses out. We've said holistically the best project embraces all of them at the same time. So we want our cake and we want to eat it too. So absolutely we did not want to give up the flood control. So as part of that project to make flood control happen in that channel, we had to actually move about 3 million cubic yards of material so that then it allowed us to populate it with trees and trails.
All right, lots of callers here. Let's get Renee on the air. And Renee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. In an effort to try to control the height of buildings, proposing along the Mission Reach and other parts of the river, what kind of impact does that have when you start putting buildings that might be four stories high? How does that impact wildlife, for example, runoff?
Okay, Renee, thank you for the call. It's kind of breaking up there. He's asking about development along the river. Since we've done these two reaches to the missions and to the museums, a lot of development this has spurred.
It has.
And what does that mean for the actual mission?
And actually, economic development is a great outcome that we wanted. The City of San Antonio, working with Bexar County and SARA, actually established a River Improvement Overlay District, or RIO. And that RIO does define how tall are your buildings, how far they need to be set back, what the materials are, the compatibility of development adjacent to the river. So in the downtown area, the RIO allows for a little bit more intense, taller buildings. But as you go north or as you go south, that development should be shorter and set back more. But yes, absolutely, we want to protect the wildlife, the natural ecosystem restoration. This is the largest urban river restoration in the nation, and we want to protect that. And we're very cognizant of that.
So back to you, Rudy. I don't think we got the answer about what's in the river. Are there any kind of contaminants, things that we need to clean up?
Well, okay. The key one, is bacteria. And we really watch bacteria. Bacteria is really the main impairment that's keeping the river from being swimmable. There are other issues. We have floatable trash. We have a lot of sedimentation. But bacteria is what we've been focused on like a laser. So back to that question about adjacent development, we want to make sure, and it's actually mandatory, that you do low-impact development along the river so that water leaving your property doesn't cause flooding. It doesn't cause bacteria to go into the river, that trash is caught. And so bacteria is what we're really focused on. And in the River Health Index, we actually measure what is that bacterial level 72 hours after a storm. Do you want to talk about that, Rudy?
Right. When we look at environmental protection, there are seven measures that we look at. One is meeting the contact recreation standards in all segments. And so what happens there is we have sampling that occurs on a regular basis. And we look at the parts per E. coli that determines whether it's meets recreational standards. So what we saw this year and what we're seeing every year are slight increases in a proactive. What we're seeing is we're seeing segments that are healthier, if you will.
So it's not
we're seeing reductions.
It's different where you are in a river. It varies.
It does vary, exactly.
What we're seeing, David, is that during these ambient times, we've actually had a lot of improvement. But when it rains, all kinds of stuff comes out the river. And that's really that critical time after it rains, what they call a stormwater event, that we really need to get a handle on with low impact development, with being good stewards of the river. That is the part of the puzzle we've still yet to solve, and that's probably in our future River Health Index, something we're really going to aggressively go after is things are good when it's not raining, but when it's raining, it gets really bad.
Steve, if I may, I just wanted to reference that in 2017, we sampled 25 segments, and out of that 25, 17 met that standard. And so when we went back and looked at the ones that didn't, those are the ones that tended to be in the urban areas, where you would have the runoff from impervious covers and whatnot, and you would have those pollutants entering the stream flow.
So in some of these areas that we've cleaned up and restored, like the Mission Reach, we've seen a return of birds, and that which is, shows us that there's a lot going on there.
Absolutely.
Is there really an eagle?
There's a bald eagle, and that was, I don't know if it actually landed in the Mission Reach or flew over, but yes, that's a true story, as was the peregrine falcons as well. But yeah, we're trying to create ecological lift. That better habitat will bring back the bugs and critters and fish, birds. We did a 3-year avian study, and we're seeing a big return of and diversity of birds. With fish, you know, we're getting larger, more species. So we know the project is working. The challenge, of course, is Mother Nature really has to do a lot of that healing. It's a 30 to 50-year process. We have over 20,000 trees, but they're tiny little trees. But over the next 30 to 40 years, they'll get bigger. We'll get a climactic riverine forest, and the habitat will just get better and better every year.
And this past weekend, we had a celebration of the Confluence Park. That's where San Pedro Creek and the San Antonio River come together, and now there's a brand new park there.
That's right. And that's where we will focus on education, educating school children about the river and about water, about ecology, showing them the different ecological zones within Central Texas. But the theme of that park is really education and reconnecting kids with nature.
So that's not why you came here today, to plug this, but don't you have a thing tomorrow with the pink martini? Is that...
There's a fundraiser that the San Antonio River Foundation is having tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Majestic. The group's name is Pink Martini. And so you can go online. I would search for San Antonio River Foundation, and they have a link to where you can buy tickets and support the cause. The River Foundation is the nonprofit that works in partnership with the San Antonio River Authority. So their focus is on art, quality of life, education, and they work in partnership with SARA.
And are they the ones that put up the art that we see along the Mission Reach?
Yes, absolutely. And they funded the Confluence Park as well.
So what's it like to have an organization like the San Antonio River Foundation coming in to do things that you can't do?
It's a godsend. It's quite a blessing. We've worked with them for a number of years. You're correct that they do things that sometimes we can't do or we can't do as well. And they have a board of their own that, again, a couple of our board members are on their board. So we really are family and working together. But yes, our partnership has been very successful to date.
We got another caller on the air, and this is Francisco. Francisco, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dave. I wanted to talk about that. One of the things that I am interested in seeing the San Antonio River develop, if all possible, would be like a barge service where it could be like local oriented and business oriented and even tourist oriented, to where they can go from downtown to the missions to business to business, like a via kind of a service in the San Antonio River, and have it be where it's very either seasonal or annual. I don't know how that would look like, but that would be like a very interesting thing to do, and it would cut through going through town as far as like getting from one location to the next.
Francisco, thank you for that interesting idea. Is that something that is there enough water to support something like that, Steve Graham?
Well, I mean, that idea has been brought up for 20 or 30 years, and that was actually looked at by the San Antonio River Oversight Committee. And that committee at that time said, really, we want to continue barge traffic north through the Museum Reach, but not so much on the Mission Reach. There's not enough flow. There's quite a bit of drop. You'd have to have a series of lock and dams. And they would really preclude and actually be a little bit counter to the restoration efforts that we're doing in the Mission Reach. So also the idea of mass transit on a river and that slow speed, we're not certain it would actually serve the function of mass transit more than it would just be for tourists. So for those reasons, that was not the direction we went with the project.
A lot of people are interested in using the as a bike highway to commute.
That is a very compatible use, and we see that today happening as we speak, that maybe the slower speed bikes, if you want to really go 30 miles an hour, you probably should be on a street route. But if you want a nice casual way to get to work or enjoy yourself, definitely come to the river.
So where are we right now with this goal of making the entire San Antonio River swimmable, safe for human contact? It's another way of putting it. And how far do we got to go?
Well, we've made good strides, but we have a long ways to go. As I said, in these ambient periods between rain events, the river is actually very clean. And you can go out, and I challenge you, you go out and you can see to the bottom. It's very clear. It's generally in great shape if it hasn't rained for a while. But where SARA is really needing to double down with its partners is how do we prevent storm water after rain events from carrying all those pollutants to the river and really making it terrible immediately after rain events. And so low impact development, working with development in the watershed, that is our focus. It's definitely one of our most important things we're doing over the next number of
years.
There
are also a couple of industrial sites that are right adjacent to the river, and people are very concerned about how that impacts the environment.
Absolutely. So are we. We have two environmental investigators. We watch, make sure that those industrial sites are doing all the things they have to do to comply with state law and local regulations.
Because it's impossible to make them move, okay? So we have to make sure that they follow the law.
Sure. And there are things that they can do to make sure they're being good stewards to the river and the creeks that they're adjacent to. But if anyone ever saw an issue that they were concerned about, both the city and SARA, we both have environmental investigators.
All right, I want to thank our guest, Steve Graham. He's the Assistant General Manager for the San Antonio River Authority. Rudy Fadias is with us. He's the lead on the San Antonio River Health Index Project. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the priorities of the Chambers of Commerce of Texas and why it's at odds with many of the state leaders in Texas, particularly they don't want a bathroom bill. What do you think about that? We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break.